He turned around and held out something black and gnarled like a piece of driftwood. I took it from him and looked it over. It was heavy and cold to the touch. "A lump of slag iron," I said. "Are you out of magic beans?" The tinker held out a pin in his other hand. He held it about a handspan away, then let go. Instead of falling, the pin snapped to the side and clung to the smooth blob of black iron. I drew in an appreciative breath. "A lodestone. I've never seen one of these."
"Technically, it's a Trebanstone," he said matter-of-factly, "as it's never been near Loughton, but you're near enough. There's all manner of people who would be interested in that beauty down Imre way."
I nodded absently as I turned it over in my hands. I'd always wanted to see a drawstone, ever since I was a child. I pulled the pin away, feeling the strange attraction it had to smooth black metal. I marveled. A piece of star iron in my hand. "How much do you figure it's worth?" I asked. The tinker sucked his teeth a little.
"Well, I'm figuring right here and now it's worth just about one full-blooded Cairnsean pack mule."
I turned it over in my hand, pulled the pin away and let it snap back again. "Trouble is, Tinker, I put myself into debt with a dangerous woman in order to buy this horse. If I don't sell it well, I'm going to be in a desperate way." He nodded.
"Piece of sky iron of that size. If you take less than 18 talents, you're cutting a hole in your own purse. Jewelers will buy it, or rich folk who want it for the novelty."
He tapped the side of his nose.
"But if you head to the university, you'll do better. Artificers have a great love for lodestone. Alchemists, too. If you find one in the right mood, you'll get more."
It was a good deal. Manet had taught me lodestone was quite valuable and difficult to come by, not only for its galvanic properties, but because pieces of sky iron like this often had rare metals mingled with the iron. I held out my hand. "I'm willing to make it a deal." We shook hands solemnly. Then, just as the tinker began to reach for the reins, I asked, "And what will you give me for his tack and saddle?" I was a little worried that the tinker might take offense at my wheedling, but instead, he smiled a sly smile.
"That's a clever lad," he chuckled. "I like a fellow who's not afraid to push for a little extra. What would you like, then? I've got a lovely woolen blanket here, or some nice rope."
He pulled a coil of it out of the donkey's packs.
"Always good to have a piece of rope with you. How about this?"
He turned around with a bottle in his hands and winked at me.
"I've got some lovely Avonish fruit wine. I'll give you all 3 for your horse's gear."
"I could use a spare blanket," I admitted. Then a thought occurred to me. "Do you have any clothes near my size? I seem to be going through a lot of shirts lately." The old man paused, holding the rope and bottle of wine, then shrugged and began to dig around in his packs. "Have you heard anything about a wedding around these parts?" I asked. Tinkers always have their ears to the ground.
"The Martin wedding."
He tied off one pack and began to dig through another.
"I hate to tell you, but you missed it. Happened yesterday."
My stomach clenched at his casual tone. If there had been a massacre, the tinker would certainly have heard. I suddenly had the horrible thought that I'd put myself in debt and run halfway to the mountains on a goose chase. "Were you there? Did anything odd happen?"
"Here we are,"
the tinker turned around, holding up a shirt of plain grey homespun.
"Nothing fancy, I'm afraid, but it's new. Well, newish."
He held it up to my chest to judge the fit. "The wedding?" I prompted.
"What? Oh, no, I wasn't there. Bit of an event, though, from what I understand. Martin's only daughter and they were sending a lot of proper, been planning it for months."
"So you didn't hear of anything odd happening?" I asked, a sinking feeling in my gut. He shrugged helplessly.
"Like I said, I wasn't there. I've been up around the ironworks the last couple of days."
He nodded to the west.
"Trading with panners and folk up in the High Rock."
He tapped the side of his head as if he just remembered something.
"That reminds me. I found a brassy up in the hills."
He rummaged in his packs again and brought out a flat, thick bottle.
"If you don't care for wine, maybe something a little stronger."
I started to shake my head, then realized that some homemade bran would be useful cleaning my side tonight. I might be, I said,